The NBA Odds Spot on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The UFC is back. International soccer is back. The casino is open 24/7. Plus, they've got tons of sports sims to bet on. Use promo code SGP for up to $1,000 deposit bonus. That's MyBookie.ag. Promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. And finally, we're brought to you by Cushy Dreams. Cushy Dreams is a new company with a full line of premium smokable CBD, now shipping legally to all 50 states. And if you use promo code SGP, you get 15% off. That's KUSHYDreams.com, promo code SGP. And welcome to NBA Odds Pod. I am your host, Ryan Rich Fat Baby McKee. And today I am joined by two very special guests. Well, not so special because you guys have met Evan before, but Evan Schwartz, how's it going?
Not so great now that you said I'm not special, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm not special in that it's not your first time, but you're always special in my heart. And we have a good friend of Evan's, Raf Carrillo. How's it going, Raf?
Very well. Very happy that you put me on a pedestal above Evan. That felt great.
So, Raf, what's your deal? You guys, you and Evan are friends. Where are you from? What do we need to know about you?
Context is Evan's my oldest friend. Evan and I met in the fifth grade. We were 10 years old. And fast forward 21 years. He's best man at my wedding last summer.
How did he do?
He marvelously.
Yeah, honestly, he nailed it.
I feel bad for any other groom to be.
Oh wow.
But he organized.
I heard he was very funny too. That's just what I heard though. I don't
know. Wait, are you talking about yourself in the third person already?
I don't. Well, we're gonna go really in an Inception way if I try to answer that in the third person.
Too, okay.
So, yes. Yeah.
But no, he did great. He organized my bachelor party and then ran around doing everything at the wedding. So yeah, Evan and I just are long time, very, very close friends.
All right, great. And then so you both grew up Knicks fans?
Thank God, no. Raf was spared from that.
And
also, we should say quickly, Raf is also, I'm a writer, Raf is also an incredibly talented writer. And that's what his profession is, and also one of the more obsessive sports fans I think that I have in my life, which is saying something.
Look, awesome. Well, Raf, what do you write?
I write fiction mostly. I have written some listicle stuff in the past for Flavor Wire, which I don't think exists anymore, unfortunately.
Many of the places that I have written for no longer exist as well.
Yeah. Funny how that happens. It's just like an ongoing book fire for the internet.
Where can listeners find you if they want to check out your stuff?
If it still exists, there's a blog called Officially a Yuppie that I've done some music writing for, and I wrote a piece for the Brooklyn Rail Online a while back, but they underwent a massive editorial staff upheaval right after, so I'm not sure if it ever actually got online.
See, you're saying you're making it really hard for people to find you.
Yeah, no, it's impossible.
Do you have a Twitter account?
No, I do not.
Wow, you guys. So.
No Twitter, no Facebook, no Instagram. He's very
mysterious. You guys are the worst millennials I've ever met.
I know.
We're on that edge of we had dial-up internet growing all up. Right. So it's it still seems vaguely undoable.
Okay. So there was some news this morning, or some potential news this morning, in that the NBA released an official statement saying that they are in talks with Disney World to potentially restart some kind of bubble tournament situation. Evan, you saw this. I didn't read it yet. What did it say?
Yeah, so the main gist of it is that they would be using the ESPN Wide World of Sports complex, which I guess is either on Disney World, land or adjacent to it, and kind of running that bubble scenario that we've been talking about, where I think in late July, they would have players arriving after a 2-week quarantine at their own team facilities. And then there's multiple arenas there. They would kind of, I guess, run through what Adam Silver has claimed will be the full playoffs, you know, 7-game series and all of
full
that.
Playoff, but they would definitely not restart the regular season.
I don't know if there's anything definite. I think that that's something that they left out of the statement pretty clearly. You know, it doesn't indicate whether or not it's regular season, playoffs, a mix. But what I thought was kind of different than this and all the rumors that we've been hearing about Las Vegas or Houston is that this came from the NBA directly. And it was a statement they released talking about the fact that they're in these exploratory talks. And it certainly just makes it seem the most substantial of all of the news and rumors that we've heard about restarting the season so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, did they give any kind of timeline whatsoever?
Yeah. Late July, which is sort of a weird, I mean, because that seems both pretty realistic in terms of right now, as we're talking, we're going into the last week of May. Mm-hmm. So that would be almost 2 full months to kind of work out all the logistics. But the funny thing about that is, you know, the playoffs are just about 10 weeks long on their own. Yeah. And that would mean that the 2019-2020 season would wrap up with only a few weeks until what would be the scheduled start of next season.
And yeah. So I mean, I think they've already come out and said that they probably wouldn't start till Christmas in for the next season.
Which is what all of us basketball fans have been saying for years, that the season doesn't really start till Christmas anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting that they're that fixated on finishing up this current season, especially at the expense of next season and possibly throwing off the calendar, you know, maybe permanently.
Raf, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I doubt this will ever happen for any reason, but if ever there were an opportunity to bump the first round of the playoffs back to a best of 5 series, this seems like it. And that would be so good for the sport, I think. Like, just
without a doubt.
Yeah. I remember those series are just, I mean, it's like, I don't watch nearly as much baseball as I do basketball, but like the first round of baseball is always thrilling because it's best of 5. And it's like, you know, a team hot at the right time can just kind of get through in an unexpected way. And I don't know, like, that doesn't happen as often as in basketball. Obviously talent usually wins, but to even introduce that element again, I think would be really thrilling.
Yeah. I like it because what was the last 8 seed, the Memphis Grizzlies, to upset like the
Spurs?
Eight years ago, maybe? That was like,
I think I was actually looking at that team. I think it was like 2011, thereabouts, something like that. Yeah, so
yeah, was it the strike season? Because that actually, the other time that had happened in my memory would have been, well, no, I guess it was the We Believe Warriors.
We Believe Warriors, 06-07.
Yeah, and then before that, it may have been the Knicks going to the finals in that strike season.
Yeah, so no, I think it was 2010-2011 Memphis, so that's the year before the strike, I think.
Yeah.
So, but it still does speak to this idea of, you know, the 8-1 upset is so rare as to be essentially non-existent. Mm-hmm. That I don't think that it's, I agree with you, I don't think it's worth extending the playoffs another almost full week just for the one every decade time that mm-hmm. there's a weird upset. Because, by the way, they're not really even the most satisfying upset. This is not like a 16-1 seed in March Madness, which is fun and exciting. It's more of a like, oh, okay, well, I guess this team will go get slaughtered in the second round now, and no, that's but
I
about
remember
it.
That Grizzlies team, I was actually really excited for that Grizzlies team to knock off the Spurs because, one, I mean, I hate the Spurs growing up a Phoenix Suns fan. The Spurs are the worst. We can all agree that. And
yes, except for Raph. Raph will not agree.
That team was really fun with Gasol, and that was like the grit and grind.
Yeah, Zach Randolph putting up a mysterious like 19 a game with no
athleticism. Exactly.
Yeah, Tony Allen.
He was totally rejuvenated. Well, he came from he was like crap on the Knicks for a while, and then hit Memphis, and then became totally rejuvenated. Right?
Yeah, Zach Randolph was so rejuvenated. Zach Randolph's got to be one of the all-time slap-in-the-face Knicks players. Just like,
and you guys have a lot of those. The Knicks have a lot of slap in the face players.
And by the way, I have nothing but love for him, because rejuvenated for Zach Randolph was suddenly he was able to jump over a box of matches. Like, that, you know, you can't fault a guy for that. But yeah, in terms of dudes leaving New York and suddenly finding their mojo, first of all, the New York Mets are undefeated at that. But yeah, Zach Randolph and the Knicks, I'm good with that. That's fine. That does not infuriate me.
So yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be best. It seems like every basketball fan I've talked about this, everybody is like, yeah, let's go back to the 5-game series for the first round and at least possibly make it more interesting and possibly have some more upsets. I would feel like it would be great, even if they did the first 2 rounds, 5-game series for just this particular situation.
Yeah,
they're going to run into football season and it's just going to get weird.
I'm so curious about, I don't know if either of you know anything about this sports complex at Disney World, but is it like remember Evan Basketball City here in New York? That's just like,
of course,
sports under a bubble. Like, it's going to be like that, like just games happening concurrently, like pickup. And then,
well, first of all, that sounds like maybe the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Where like the basketball would accidentally like, it would go out of bounds and then into the other court and they'd have to stop the game.
Ball on court. Ball on court. He's got to chase it down. No, but like, I mean, it's like, for a couple of years, one of my friends had the NFL Red Zone that just, you know, takes you to the action, you know, whatever. Yep. So you never see any of the boring parts of football. So yeah, if they just had that going on for the NBA, just all these games happening at once and, you know, camera crews switching perspectives.
I mean, and that's what they do for March Madness already, where they broadcast games simultaneously across different channels. And I think, look, this is the NBA, thankfully, is the most innovative out of all the leagues. And this would be the time to experiment. Like, this would be your weird little, you know, quite literally bubble where you can try some things out and see what sticks and what maybe you can incorporate, you know, into the NBA, into the product for the future. And I think concurrent, you know, games, running them, I don't think it'll be quite Basketball City. I think what they actually do have are like 3 separate arenas that are just on that campus. But you could blaze through at least the first round of the playoffs way quicker, you know, maybe in as little or in as few as like 11 days if they're willing to really, really commit to it. And obviously if the networks are okay with it. And I think that probably one of the biggest driving forces behind this particular plan is just the synergy between the NBA, Disney, ESPN, and, you know, for that corporation to be able to own pretty much all of it. I imagine that they'll be willing to do whatever it takes to make this happen.
Yeah. What you're saying is the NBA right now is an 18-year-old girl coming from a strict family and going to college for the first time, and she can experiment with anything she wants at this point.
She is going to join a coven of witches, without a doubt. This is it.
You went directly for the witches. I was thinking more like kissing a girlfriend for the first time, but yeah, all right. I see where your head's at.
I don't know what witch covens do. I'm saying anything is on the table for sure. Should we go through
be honest, you're writing some witch coven fiction right now. That is why. That's what you're doing.
He's editing mine. He's editing my witch coven fiction. It's witch coven basketball. It's very niche.
That is quite niche. I would love to read some of that. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's exciting. I feel like I've been let down so many times already with getting excited about different news that I don't know where I stand on it. Like, of course I would love to see basketball come back, but who knows at this point. I feel like we go through a roller coaster of emotions. Last time Evan and I spoke, we were totally convinced, both of us, that we would not see basketball again this season.
Yeah, it's funny how things can change that quickly. And again, when there's money behind it, that obviously will be the determining factor of if it happens or not, because they will move mountains to avoid breaking TV contracts and things like that. And I also think that when you compare it to the plan for, you know, baseball, let's say, the main difference is that this is going to leave a sour taste in everybody's mouth if the season doesn't get finished. Whereas starting a brand new season does seem a little bit more ridiculous and a little bit more of a heavy lift. So I think if there's any, you know, factor there that's in the NBA's favor, it's that they've just got to make it over the finish line as opposed to, you know, scheming up an entire plan for an entire season.
I do think the most annoying storylines, if they do restart it and play the playoffs, it will be an annoying storyline for a long time, especially if LeBron wins, because everybody who's so up on Michael Jordan right now, be like, oh, that's an asterisk win. That's not a real championship. You can't really count that towards LeBron's legacy.
Yeah. And then it would be 2 out of 4 rings with asterisks. And it's a bad scene for Bron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. I'm already pre-mad at everybody.
Yeah, that's a very New Yorker thing. Getting mad at everybody before it even happens.
It's when you're waiting for the car in front of you at the red light, and you're just like, as soon as it turns green, I am honking this horn. I do not like this guy.
And now for a quick break from our presenting sponsor, mybookie.ag. You've heard the news. Basketball is just over the horizon. That's right. I'm calling it. Basketball is just over the horizon. And you need to go over to mybookie.ag, get yourself an account, use promo code SGP, and they will match your deposit up to $1,000. So if you put in $100, you get $50 to play with absolutely free. And just in case you couldn't do the math, I did it for you, you know? And hey, say that your earnings from betting on sports or simulated sports, MMA, if they're not coming quick enough for you, try your hand over at the MyBookie Casino with instant access to hundreds of classic slots and table games. There's new blackjack tournaments starting every week, opportunities to enter for free and score a portion of the huge jackpot. Again, stay safe and stay sane from the comfort of your own home and sign up right now. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code SGP, and they'll match your deposit halfway up to $1,000. Because, hey, with MyBookie, you bet, you win, and most importantly, when you win, you get paid. Because we still don't have basketball to talk about betting on, Evan suggested that we bring on Raf because you are one of the best sports trivia nerds he knows, and that you guys just go back and forth talking about the craziest sports trivia. So,
Our text history is really like there's nothing substantive in there. It's all just, you know, who led the league in 3-point percentage in 1991, but, you know, shot under 80% from the free throw line, like just crazy stuff. So, yeah.
And then will you be my best man? And then sure. And then, but only if you can answer these questions 3.
That's right.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm Monty Python.
I do feel like this is also applicable, this kind of theme, because to put a quick plug of one of my own things in there, CBS is premiering a show I was a producer on called Game On this Wednesday, which I did work. It's a lot of sports. It's like a lot of stupid sports trivia mixed with like challenges, and has Rob Gronkowski and Venus Williams. Keegan Michael Key is the host. And then they have like rotating celebrities that play. So I did do a lot of really dumb sports trivia. So I'll try to throw in a couple of facts if I can even remember them. But I'll let you guys take it away from here.
Fantastic. And then let me say my bona fides are that my first job out of college in sports media was writing sports trivia. So you've got 3 at least moderately experienced dummies here doing this. I think we can all at least fake some expertise. So,
yeah, and I've spent just an inordinate amount of, I've spent so much time on Wikipedia that I'm now one of the people that pays for it. Like it got to a point where I'm like, I got to give these people $3 a month because I'm just.
I do that too.
I go like $5 like a year hero. Though.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm making the minimum contribution, but still, Jimmy Wales owes me.
All right. So, Raph, who wants to go with the first? And do we have all basketball facts, or are you guys just bringing all kinds of facts?
I brought only basketball, but I'm awesome. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Likewise, and I've got a fun one for Raph because the way that we tend to do this is we'll ask each other questions knowing pretty full well what the other's capability is. And so I think Raph will get at least two of these up front out of the four names. Okay. And the question is, as best as I can tell, the only four NBA Hall of Famers who played during the three-point era and have only one career three-pointer made.
Oh my goodness.
There's four of them that I found. I think two of them, if you use your logic, you should be able to get. The other two are a little more obscure.
Now, when you say the three-point era, it was when it was introduced or when it became popular?
When it was at least during a time in which if you hit a shot from behind the arc, you got 3 points.
Okay.
Okay, so I have two. Got it. I have two quick draw guesses.
Do it.
One of them is Shaq. I believe he hit a single three-point field goal.
Correct.
And would Rick Smits be another?
Ooh, that no. But you, one of the obscure names. You're not far off. You're in the sort of
so a tall foreign-born gentleman.
Can I venture a guess here?
Go for it.
Dennis Rodman.
No,
Rodman's got a couple.
I think Rodman has a couple. Yeah, but again, you're in the right kind of arena to if you'll pardon the pun.
I mean, it seems silly to guess George Mirzan, but George Mirzan?
No, I did not see him in there. And let me say, by the way, as per the Rick Smith guess, I don't think foreign-born, but do think kind of gawky white dudes.
Don't think foreign-born, but gawky white dude.
Chris Dudley? Yeah.
No, but you're getting a little closer.
Man.
All right, one more guess.
By the way, one of them should be very obvious, and you just think Hall of Famers, all-timers, who would maybe have only been shooting from the outside very rarely, if ever.
Patrick Ewing.
No pressure at all there.
No, but now you're getting closer there.
Sorry, what was your guess, Ryan? I didn't hear that.
Ewing.
Oh, Charles Oakley?
No, but think all-time big men.
All-time big men. Hakeem?
Getting close.
David Robinson?
No. Come on, all-time.
I feel like, all right, I feel like this must be annoying to the listeners. Just go ahead and
tell us. Yeah, we can't go too long on this.
All right, your all-timer, Mr. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One career.
What?
Apparently.
I'm very surprised. I mean, I guess they introduced the three-pointer while he was playing, so he didn't have it his entire career, but I still felt like his outside shot was better than that.
Let's fact-check Evan right now, because if we're disputing it, we shall go to his basketball reference, and he hit one career three-pointer in 1986-87.
Wow.
39-year-old.
I would guess that's a garbage time. We have a lead or we don't have a lead type shot.
or there's 1 second left on the clock for sure.
Right.
Like, which I think is Shaq's was an inbound with 2 seconds left and he threw it up and banked it in.
yeah.
I think he was on the Magic. I think it was actually
I believe it was a Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. But so yeah, Kareem 1 for 18 in his career for threes. Your gawky white dude, as best as I can tell, Dave Cowan. Maybe not the gawkiest, but certainly.
He was even in the Hall of Fame.
He was a number one overall pick, I believe. Wasn't he?
Let's find out what we got this page. Fourth pick by the Celtics. And so I think for him, what year was the three-pointer? I think it was
78, yeah, it's 78 or 79.
Yeah, so he hit one in 79-80 and went 1 for 14 his career from beyond the arc. And then the final one, I don't know if anybody would have gotten this, as best as I can tell, is Spencer Haywood.
Yeah, never. Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Huh.
But I was impressed you got Shaq right off the bat, because that's some good Shaq, obscure stuff. And I've got a couple more Shaq facts.
Trying a couple three-pointers in the All-Star games.
Yes.
I do remember... That I don't ever remember watching him trying to hit them in a real game, though.
That's good, in the All-Star game for sure.
Yeah.
I've seen like, you know, YouTube compilations of him practicing whatever. And every time he hits a three, it's banked violently in, you know, it's never like a nice looking switch. It's as if he dunked it from 27 feet and just, yeah.
Okay. Raph, what do you got for us for your first one?
Okay. This is a little more involved. I know that was pretty involved. I shouldn't say that. Okay. Can either of you name the now defunct annual award won by both Dennis Rodman and Grant Hill? Dennis Rodman won it in 1992. Grant Hill won it in 1997.
Ooh. Okay, so this was not one of the big, MVP, most improved, but it's in that same sort of vein?
It's in that vein. It existed from 1984 until 2002. And it is... yeah, I mean, it's in that same vein, but it's not.
Okay.
Defunct NBA awards.
So I'm going to try to logic it out a little bit because those two names are so disparate. But I do know that Grant Hill is a big time charitable donator, all those sorts of things. Was it some kind of citizenship award?
Ooh, good guess.
It is not, and I will reiterate that Dennis Rodman won this award.
I thought maybe it was one of those, like, well, how did he ever win this?
Well, but, that could have totally been, because every once in a while, though, like, those guys will kind of, like, try to remake their image and just go overboard giving charity.
It's true. Yeah. Dennis Rodman, I think, is a good-hearted, damaged person, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's, like, on the sly started, like, 9 schools. So that's not actually a crazy guess, just publicly.
And also because I believe Ron Artest has won a couple of those in the Meta World Peace years because of how he was able to turn around, you know, his mental health and talk about it so openly. So maybe Dennis Rodman was about to kick a cameraman in the nuts and then stopped. And they were like, we should reward this behavior.
I will say it has nothing to do with citizenship. It is to do with contributions on the court. It is a basketball award.
I mean, it's okay.
I don't expect
and there is like there is a sportsmanship award and a teammate award, but those are not defunct. I think they still give those out, right?
There's some version.
There's the Joe. Oh yeah, it's the Joe Dumars Trophy.
Yes. Yeah.
For the best sportsmanship, and then I think there's also a teammate award, which just feels weird. But anyway, I believe they still give those out, and. I believe, they still give out like a citizenship award, so it wouldn't have been that anyway. So if it's now it's defunct. Geez, I have no idea.
Then let me venture another guess. Was it a Hustle Award?
It was not.
Man, that's tough.
I mean,
you got to throw us a hint. Yeah,
I can throw you another hint. Another hint. David Robinson won this award 5 times.
Ooh.
Ooh, boy.
I can't wait to tell you about this because it's so strange and I want it to come back.
Okay, maybe one more guess each. And
is it the most impressive body on the court award?
Yeah, God, that dude remains like, obviously cut to marble.
He would have won I got the best score on the SAT award too.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say that it was something to do with was it a defensive award?
No, it was not.
All right, I'm done. You got to let us know. I'm so curious.
Okay, it is called the IBM Award, and it is the closest comparison it has today would be PER, player efficiency rating.
Oh.
So it basically, there's the formula for it is player points minus player field goal attempts plus player rebounds plus et cetera, then times like team wins times 250 and then divided. It's basically individual contributions divided by team contributions.
Wow.
So David Robinson won this award 5 times, excuse me. Charles Barkley won it 3 times. Jordan won it 2 times, but neither time in an MVP year for Jordan. And it is only correlated to the MVP twice, David Robinson in 1995 and Shaq in 2000. So it is a pure IBM Watson generated, you know, it's a formula based award. And I really want something like this to come back. I think a plurality of MVP awards would be a good thing just for kind of interest. And I find it fascinating. Like it's a really interesting list if you Google it now. So yeah, Rodman won in 1992. And there was another kind of funny one, but yeah.
It almost is a little bit of like, ooh, are you getting an echo? Oh, not anymore. It almost is kind of a like hustle award, but I guess kind of like amortized over win shares, which is really interesting. And I bet you could do it now completely differently, given that they have so many player trackers and like biometric things, that you could totally like, you know, divine a way to figure out which player covers the most of the court and was involved in the most plays. I mean, it's sort of like usage rate plus, you know, defensive hot zones and just like all of that kind of stuff boiled down. But so here's my question then. Do you think that that's the same thing as saying the best player in the league, or is it the most effective or efficient? I mean, like, how do you kind of categorize that?
Because people always argue about the MVP award being like, is it the person that's most valuable to their specific team, or is it just the best player in the league? And now for another quick break, and we'll be right back. Unfortunately, a lot of you might be out of work right now, and that's important, and that sucks, but you guys should all be thinking about your next move. Maybe you want a career change. Maybe you want to be your own bookie. That's right. With sports coming back, you can now be your own bookie with aceperhead.com. All right? So what? Maybe you don't know anything about how to start your own sportsbook. That's all right. They will do it for you. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. Ace Per Head has top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
Yeah, I mean, what I find appealing about this is that it's, this is the other funny winner. Dikembe Mutombo won it once. So what I find appealing about it is that it totally removes the narrativizing of the Most Valuable Player Award, because that's just an unavoidable aspect.
Yeah.
Of, it's the influence of sports media, which I love, and it's really, really fun to take the whole history of the team and the player into consideration, along with the statistics. Like, you know, I don't think that statistical determinations should hold primacy over how we do it normally. I just think having it there also would be just interesting. Like, this only correlated to the actual MVP twice in almost 20 years of existence. Like, that's fascinating. And it seems like it was kind of ahead of its time as well. It's like, now we know, you know, how many dribbles per game players take and where their hot zones are on the floor. And like, this is an award that didn't have the right tools to really make it meaningful yet, it seems like. And now if they tried something like this again, we could really learn something.
Yeah. Especially with all the advanced stats, you're right. What it reminds me of a little bit is in the NFL, where you have the MVP, which is almost always a quarterback, but then they also will have the offensive player of the
right, year, totally,
and who will be different. So,
and like, yeah. I think I could be mistaken, but the NHL don't they have an MVP as determined by the AP, and then an MVP as determined by the other players, something like that.
Yeah, is it the what's his name, Rocket?
Rocket Richard and the Hart Trophy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I also, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a math guy, but I wonder if that award, because some of the guys you brought up, and I'm thinking Rodman specifically, the formula I imagine favors, because it's sheer addition of statistics.
Yes.
It favors guys that accrue defensive numbers. Mm-hmm. So Jordan, obviously, because he had the ball in his hands constantly and he's shooting constantly, it's not like he was gobbling up rebounds, and it's not like he was really you know, blocking many shots because he was on the perimeter. Whereas if you've got Robinson, Rodman, whoever, who's, I mean, Rodman pulled down 18 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And so just adding 18 to whatever your number is going to really put you, you know, up. So I think obviously people who, you know, can use calculators would probably like find a way to kind of minimize that. But it's such an interesting way to look at like contribution for a game where, I mean, you know, you can go 25 minutes and barely touch the ball on the offensive side of the court and still be Ben Wallace, you know?
Yeah. No, that's, and just to the defensive aspect of this, it correlated to Defensive Player of the Year once with Hakeem Olajuwon in 1993. And I didn't actually know before this that Hakeem won that award. But no, you're right. It's a totally, it favors a certain just raw bulk of stats. And it's certainly asking a different question because, yeah, Rodman won this award, but it would never be under consideration that you'd roll the ball to him and run the get the fuck out of the way set at the end of a game. It's like that's Jordan territory. That's Larry Bird territory. So the question of value there is not, you know, you're never going to take a player like Rodman for the last shot of the game. But,
it's interesting, no, but it also seemed to favor guys who, I mean, just the players you named, like someone like Robinson winning it five times, it's not like he could ever really get his own shot. You know, he was kind of
that's true,
he had to wait for somebody to like set him up, and so I feel like right. it doesn't favor point guards and stuff like that, which is, you know, kind of interesting.
That's a really it's funny you said that, actually, because I'm looking at the list again now and not a single Magic Johnson won it in 83-84, but he's the only point guard who won it. Other than that, it is mostly front court players, aside from Jordan. And if you want to count Grant Hill as like a combo player.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Robinson.
That also says a lot about where the league was at compared to where it is now.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I thought that was a fun little rabbit hole. I'd never heard of it. I stumbled upon it accidentally. And yeah.
I like that a lot.
All right. We're going to go real stupid with one of my game on questions.
Yeah.
For you guys. This is what you can expect from CBS Primetime this coming Wednesday. First off, the first part of this question is, can you name, and this has been measured in decibels, can you name the women's tennis player who has the highest grunt? You know, a lot of women's tennis players.
Yeah.
Is this all time or current players?
This is all time. So, you know, you can reach back to, you know, the Monica Seleses, the Martina Navratilovas.
Raph, can you phone a friend / family member?
Yeah. My aunt, Mary Carrillo, is a tennis broadcaster. So if she ever hears this, I feel like I should... venture a good guess. I would guess Maria Sharapova, maybe.
Ding, ding, ding. Very good.
Hey.
Right.
And the part of this, and the part that this question appears in the episode is place these sounds in order from highest to lowest. So it goes Maria Sharapova's grunt, the highest it was ever recorded at. The Seattle Seahawks 12th man,
yeah, CenturyLink, yeah,
when they set the when they set the record, and the average sound of a NASCAR race.
Is that the order in
exactly. That's not the order. Place it in the order.
I would go, I mean, I guess first last time, Evan, so you go ahead.
I would say CenturyLink, then NASCAR, then Sharapova.
Okay, Raph, do you have another answer?
I would flip. I would go NASCAR first, then Seahawks, then Sharapova.
You're wrong. Seahawks are first with, I think it was around 139 decibels. Sharapova is second with 109 decibels. And the average sound level at a NASCAR race is around 100 decibels.
Wow.
I just blew your guys' minds, right?
Yeah.
Totally not basketball related. Sorry about that. But that's the kind of stuff that I was researching and writing for this show.
That's fantastic. No, we can talk all the tennis you want.
Nope, that's exactly the amount of tennis I wanted to talk about.
Wow. Very surprised NASCAR's not louder.
Yeah.
Well, does that average decibel level include like the moment of silence they have before every race to memorialize the end of the Northern War of Aggression? Or
I have no idea what that really takes into account, because this show is not like it's not a real game show in that people are actually winning stuff. So we didn't have to totally fact check everything to the down to the nth degree. But yeah, that is what they claim is 100 decibels.
Wow.
At an average NASCAR race. So who wants to go next with another factoid?
Well, I've got one that I think is going to be equally surprising, and maybe I'm telegraphing it a little bit, but let me say this. First of all, the only state in America that has never produced an NBA player is Vermont, which I thought was really interesting. 49 other states have. No NBA players ever come from Vermont. So here's the question. Which city has produced the most number one NBA draft picks?
Oh, that's a really good question.
My gut instinct is Chicago.
I'm going to say Los Angeles.
You were wrong.
Yeah, so this is going to be a weird one.
Oh, it is a weird one.
Now I'm thinking just like mid-Atlantic, somewhere in North Carolina, maybe.
Now, so let me give you a hint here. Think about recent number one overall picks and think about what certainly two of them in the last, let's say, 10 years have in common. And it's something a little funky.
Are you talking about the fact that Ben Simmons was born in Australia?
I am talking about the fact that Ben Simmons was born in Australia.
Is it Sydney?
It is, well, you got it. It is Melbourne, not Sydney.
Melbourne,
Australia.
Because,
Kyrie Irving.
Bogut.
Correct. And Ben Simmons.
And Ben Simmons.
And that's three.
I believe no other city has three number one draft picks.
Wow. That's totally wild.
Isn't that really, really, really crazy to think about? And it's a little weird because Kyrie, he is an Australian citizen, but as best as I know, both of his parents are American.
Yes, they are.
And he went to Duke, obviously. But
And he plays for Team USA.
And also he can't be from Australia because the earth is flat.
Oh,
that's right. Australia doesn't exist. Sorry. I'm very sorry. I should have said up front, this is a fake question. And I am a globist. And, you know, I believe NASA.
You're a real rounder, aren't you?
I am.
And you're going to get in trouble because Kyrie Irving does listen to this podcast. Oh, so yeah. He's going to be coming after you.
I forgot. Yeah.
Jeez. As long as I don't try to DM up, that's fine.
That's great. I like that. That's a fun one to throw out at a party to stump.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll also say there must be something in the water there because Andrew Bogut is also completely nuts. So,
I think that is just, that's just Australia.
Maybe it
people
is,
from yeah. Australia are just a little bit off for whatever reason, and like usually in a good way. They're some of the most fun party people to party with and have beers, but certainly you don't want to like get into some kind of like jackass dare off with an Australian person because you will lose and come out with a broken leg in some way.
You don't want to play Hold My Fosters with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you will get a spider bite.
Okay, we just need to take our last break and we will be right back with the conversation. I'm very excited for this new company. This is the first time I get to read this ad, so you know, market in history, I don't know. Cushy Dreams is a new company with a full line of premium smokable CBD, which is something I love. It gets me to sleep. They specialize in extraordinary CBD rich hemp flower, aka bud, and pre-roll CBD joints. And they're shipping legally to all 50 states. So if you can't score some good CBD in the state you're in, maybe you live in like a real conservative state, this is for you. So join the group of adults who are sick of vapes and gummies and want to smoke their CBD. Okay, here's what you need to know about Cushy Dreams. Their CBD content is up to 20%, which is some of the highest in the game. It looks like high quality marijuana. Feels like high quality marijuana and tastes like high quality marijuana, which is what you want. Come on. The attention to detail is noticeable in every beautiful flower. Smoking your CBD is the most efficient and effective way to deliver CBD to your system, and it does not get you high. It just relaxes you, man. Grown in California and Oregon, each plant is hand selected by a team of experienced cannabis flower experts. Now, as I said, they are shipping legally to all 50 states. And if you use promo code SGP, you get 15% off. That's KUSHYDreams.com. KUSHYDreams.com. And make sure to use that promo code SGP for 15% off. Smoke your CBD because you can. All right, Raph, what do you got?
All right. I got a few. I'm trying to decide which one to go with here. Okay. Can either of you name the player with the longest streak of playing time without making a free throw?
Wow.
And I will qualify this. I do not expect either of you to get this, and it is not what I would call an intuitive answer.
Can you give us like, nope. So can you give us like a year range here?
Yeah, this would be early 2010s. And I can give you, I'll give you another hint if you like. This player played in the NBA, but also in a league abroad for a couple of years.
There's
a couple of pathways here because it could be, you know, a big man who, or somebody else who's just a bad free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. But it also could just be a guy who never had the ball in his hands. So that's where my mind is going, that I wonder if it's somebody who got into games but just never, ever, ever had the ball in his hands.
Like just a defensive specialist.
Yes, like some dude that was there to protect the rim, rebound, throw the outlet pass, and then honestly just stay on the other side of the court.
And so you're saying that we do not expect us to get this because is it going to be a name that we even like immediately recognize?
Yes. Once I say it, I given both your levels of fandom, I don't imagine he will be a stranger, but I expect you would think him in this category.
I'm going to venture a guess here with Tony Allen.
Not Tony Allen, but that's a good guess. And I was even thinking just now, like that would be the kind of guess I'd make if I didn't know. But no, not Tony Allen.
I don't think this is right, but when you said Tony Allen, it kind of, the name that I had in my head for whatever reason was Bruce Bowen.
Not Bruce Bowen either.
Was he even still playing by 2010?
That's what I'm trying to rack my brain, because I think he won a couple more chips with those Spurs teams in the early 2010s.
Yeah, I can't remember if he was still around then.
But I can't remember.
He's kind of like Jack Torrance in The Shining. Like, if you look at any NBA photo, Bruce Bowen is there.
And he's pissing somebody off.
And and while somebody's in the air, he's just sliding his foot underneath their landing spot.
Yeah. all right, you got to give us something else, I think.
Yeah, one more quick clue, and then we'll venture another guess here.
Okay, I'll just tell you what team he was playing for. Phoenix.
Oh, fuck. I should actually know this.
Let's do it. This is on you now.
Jesus.
The stretch of time we're talking about is from the back half of the 2010-2011 season into the 2011-2012 season.
Oh, man.
Boris Diaw?
No, sir.
I'll go with Robin Lopez.
Not Robin Lopez. All right. Do you got more guesses, or should I just tell you?
That's just.
I think you got to tell us.
Josh Childress.
Really?
Isn't that strange? So Josh Childress, the number is 491 minutes played. And yeah, from about halfway through the 2010-2011 season into 2011-2012, he's playing about 15 minutes per game. And for 2011-2012, he's only averaging 0.1 free throw attempts per game. His percentage in 2011-2012 is zero. He doesn't hit any free throws in that season. I don't trust that I found this. I'm like, I mean, I double checked this. I triple checked it. I went on Basketball Reference. And I mean, there's so much that's strange about this because this is his 27, 28 year old season. So, you know, like ostensibly still in his prime. He's a 6'8 slasher type. He's got a, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't known as a horrible shooter either.
No. I mean, and so, I mean, obviously this is after like the prime, you know, critically acclaimed sons. Like, this is no longer Nash, Stoudemire, Marion, you know, Fiesta. So I get that there wouldn't be as many opportunities, but the idea that he's playing, and I will also concede there is, in 2011-2012, there's a lot of DNPs, but I think he still plays like 34 games and like 14-15 minutes a game. So he's not really touching the ball. And when he is, he's never head faking and then slashing to the rim. I mean, it's just, it really, to me, this boggles the mind. He's not the kind of player I would expect this from. And the only thing I can really think to chalk it up to, and it's totally subjective, is that he spent 2 years playing for Olympiacos in the Greek league. And he went there because he could make, because of tax reasons, he made a lot more money. And he led the league in scoring there 1 year. And I'm guessing that's just, you know, at 6'8", he's probably a giant playing against European players and could probably do whatever he wanted. And when he came back, he wasn't really up to the level of NBA physicality anymore. Maybe. Hard to say.
Yeah, I totally forgot the clue that he had played in another league when I guessed Robin Lopez. That's
You know, they do have something else in common. Didn't Robin Lopez also go to Stanford?
Yeah, he did.
Yes. He and his brother switched their recruitment from UCLA and decided to go to Stanford instead. And it's was not a great moment in UCLA basketball history. So, can I actually then interject just a free throw Suns factoid that I found that I love?
Please.
Yes. And that, I might have one too. You're not already going to say.
Okay. So, Steve Nash, one of the greatest just pure shooters of all time, and especially free throw shooters, Shaq, one of the worst, in Shaq's worst ever free throw season by percentage, he missed 412 free throws. In his career, Steve Nash missed 324.
Oh my God.
So wow. In his entire career, Nash missed fewer than Shaq in one season. And that's not the only season of Shaq's where that's true, by the way. That's just the worst one. In fact, in his best season, Shaq missed 274. So that's like,
oh my God,
about 50 exactly. And then, you know, Nash missed forever. So it's crazy that they played the same game. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Oh, when you look at them, if you took like an alien from another country, or yes. You took an alien from outer space and put Shaq and Nash together and be like, did these guys play the same sport? Just by looking at them, there was no way in the world that anybody would guess that they were even from the same species.
And then you could just like blow up their reality by enlightening them to the fact that Steve Nash won 2 MVP awards and Shaq won 1.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
this is a microcosm of Steve Nash free throw trivia, but I just stumbled in 2009-2010, he missed 14 free throws all season. He was 211 for 225 in 81 games. So
that is just nuts.
Yeah. I mean, you, Ryan, you mentioned at the top that you're a big Suns guy, as am I, especially during those Nash years, but actually going back to when they first drafted him, when they had that super, we can talk about teams later, I guess, but they had that super fun team that had him and Kidd and Kevin Johnson.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
and only 2 of those 3 are problematic now. That's good. Steve Nash is a saint, and we love him. The other 2, not so much.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I grew up in Arizona, so you know, I've been a huge Suns fan ever since I was, you know, big Marley guy.
Oh yeah, and Marley.
Thunder Dan.
Did you ever go to his restaurant?
Oh yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. I started doing stand-up comedy when I lived in Phoenix too. And there, every once in a while, they would do a bad stand-up comedy show at Marley's, and I was always, even though it was always horrible, I was always up to do it just because it was Marley's restaurant.
Did they try and like graft his name onto certain, like, was there like the Marley Garita or other like menu items that had his name just? Sure.
No, you know what? It's the most boring, like, it's kind of like him as a person. It's most like boring. they don't do anything creative with it. They just like throw some of his sports memorabilia in there and have some really bad ribs.
Uh-huh. So it's like a play 18 holes, go eat dinner type place.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's like Walt Clyde Frazier's restaurant here in New York, which is basically just, you know, his name and some of his memorabilia next to like very, very mediocre buffalo wings.
Daryl Strawberry opened a restaurant in my grandparents' town briefly called Strawberries that promptly went out of business. It was like next to the train station and just a sports bar. Could not rely on the loyalty from the Queens Mets fans.
One of my, in the same vein of athlete restaurants for the for Game On this season, one of my pitches was because Shaq has a restaurant here in Los Angeles, and there's two burgers on the menu at Shaq's restaurant. And there's a Kobe burger made with Kobe beef, and then a Shaq burger. And actually, then we found out that market it as made with Kobe beef, but it's actually made with Wagyu beef because it's too expensive for Kobe beef, which is weird. But one of the pitches I had for the TV show was to get a Kobe burger and get a Shaq burger and do a taste test with the guests to decide once and for all who is better, Kobe or Shaq. And your reaction, Evan, is exactly the reaction that the executive producers had and why it didn't make it on the show.
I'm all green lights for comedy. That would have been fun. I'm more puzzled by how has he not been sued by Shake Shack? That reaction is why I didn't write on your show. So... By the way, that was not a joke. I'm very worried about his legal culpability there.
Okay, I ended up recording so long with Raf and Evan that I broke this into two episodes. So we'll be back on Wednesday with Evan and Raf, and we'll be talking about some of our favorite teams in NBA history. So thanks so much. We'll be back Wednesday, and check out NBA Odds Pod every week. That's a bad ending. You can follow me on @TheRyanMcKee. And if anybody's still listening, let's watch Game On Wednesday night, CBS. Okay, bye. Basketball.